Shmuel Halpin, Parshas Vayeshev.
Good morning. Today is a special day. I'm sure most love people know. Yitzhak Kislev is the Mezid Shemagid Yutzat. Mezid Shemagid was, if to say, the successor of the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov was one who was Mechadish the Derech HaChassidus, and the Mezid Shemagid, his Talmud, was the one who was Mefitz Chassidus though around the world. He was the one who had, it's famous that he had 36 Talmidim, but those are the 36 main Talmidim. Besides that, he had a few hundred other Talmidim. Just so we have an idea, we have so many names that are so become so famous in Klal Yisrael. We realize these are his Talmidim. The Heilige Rebbe Ramaylich von Ajenst, the Rebbe Reb Zisha, Choyze von Lublin, the Remandel Rimeneva, so many of Rum Chaliske, Kedisha Slavi, there's so many great tzaddikim who, that's part, we know that the Yesoidus of Klal Yisrael, the last couple of hundred years, is all Talmidim of the Maggid. These are all the Talmidim which the Maggid had, which spread around the Chassidus around the whole world. Without any asugu who the Maggid was, there's one of the famous little anecdotes is Erev Shabbos, the Maggid was trying to rest a few minutes, L'chuvat Shabbos, and he came out from his room and he said, someone is disturbing his shluf. Someone is disturbing his shluf. One of the Talmidim is saying Shea Shirim, and the whole Pamali Shamala is dancing along. The whole Pamali Shamala, the whole Shemayim is dancing and singing. It's at Ibigarash completely from this Talmud Shea Shirim. And the Maggid said, I can't sleep because there's so much noise happening in Shemayim from this Shea Shirim. I can't sleep. Please find out who it is. He should stop saying Shea Shirim. They went around, they found that the Rebbe Reb Zisha was in the middle of saying Shea Shirim. And he stopped saying Shea Shirim, the Maggid could fall asleep. First, we see Rebbe Reb Zisha Shea Shirim turn the whole Shemayim upside down. But we see the Maggid's shluf was Nachasach Echad. We don't understand anything, the beginning, not the end. These types of ma'asim are very good for us to hear, the godless of Azar Groyser Mensch. But we can't really learn something from these types of stories because they're way above our hasugas. But there's one ma'asim from the Maggid, which Mosai Yagia Ma'asim Le'ma'asim Avoisa is a famous saying from Alav Chassid Sherebe, is Mosai Yagia Ma'asim Yagia is a lotion nagia, a lotion of touching. What? How can I touch at least something of the Ma'asim Avoisa? So there's one mass of the Maggid which maybe we can touch in a very small way, maybe we can have a shaykhus to it. The Maggid used to live in Tolshin, a little shtut, and he was a very poor person. And he went in the morning to Toivel. There was no mikveh in town, so he went to the nearest river, and he used to Toivel in the river. In the middle of winter, in that part of the world, there's no river, it's just sheets of ice. And I wouldn't advise anyone to try it, because it sounds good in the storybooks, but it's bitter cold. Before the river freezes over, it's bitter cold. And if it freezes over, the Maggid used to break the ice, used to go on Toivel inside, and then he walked back through the snow to the Beis HaMedrash, and he had torn shoes, and the whole way along from the river bank until he got to the Shiel, you could see spots of blood along the way. Which the Maggid was so cold and he had such chapped and frozen feet that he pushed, was bleeding the whole way along until he came back to the Beis HaMedrash. And he came to the freezing cold Beis HaMedrash. Nobody had thought of lighting a fire yet at that time in the morning. And the Maggid started to prepare himself to start to daven. And he started to daven. By the time he got to Baruch Shoma, he was so hot that he had to take the talus off his head in order to wipe the sweat off his brow. This is a master which the Maggid is the only one who can go on Toivel in the ice, who can have such a slavis. But this is a master we can have maybe a little negir to, of how we can have a slavis in doing Torah and Avodas Hashem. Doresh Tov was the Rasul Chaltkev's son, the Chaltkev Rebbe, used to say about this master that Yaakov Avini was on the way to Lovan and he went past Har Meriah and said, Efshar Avarti Al Mukim Shespali Avoisai. And therefore he went back. So the Doresh Tov used to say, one doesn't have to go to Tolshin in order to go back to the place where the Maggid davened with such a slavis in order to be Mukhen Shespali Bo'avoisai. Every day we go past the Mukim Shespali Boavoisai. Every time when we go come to Burch Shuma in the davening, that's also a Mukim Shespali Boavoisai. When we get to the place Burch Shuma in the middle of davening, it's also a place where we got to where our father's daven with such a slavis that we can chap a brand. Last night, the Mi'an Rebbe said by the Tish, there's always a Tish in Yitzhak Kislev because the Rebbe is the Einik Rishon, is the Einik Lech from the Magid. Last night, the Rebbe said on this Masa, he said that was the Magid's time. Nowadays, we're so lucky. We have hot mikvus, we have whole shoes, we have warm base medrash. The only thing we've got to see is that inside us, we shouldn't be cold. So every one of us has a nekida, we can take this as a nekida we can learn to have Yislavas. But how do we get to Havir Slavis? How do we get to such a type of a thing? How does a person awaken a fire inside of himself in order to ken and din and aivishta with such type of avoida? I heard a very a powerful message from Rabbi Avraham Motcha Malach. There's a Yid in America, the Gera Chusid, who is a stroke Batchan, stroke Baldarshan, and his rushes are very inspirational, very moving. And he said a very powerful message, I heard from him, a very powerful message. He said that he has a brother who lives in Eretz Yisrael, who waited 10 years for children, and he had 10 years waiting for children, and he had twins. The twins grew up, and he came to the first chasna of the twin. And the first chasna of the twin, the chasna was in Eretz Yisrael. He said, I couldn't make it. I thought, you know, I'll go for the second twin. So his brother made chasna in Eretz Yisrael, and he was in America. In the middle of the afternoon, he gets a phone call from some of his family in Eretz Yisrael, and they told him, as one of his nephews, I think, he said, Uncle, we're by the chasna. We thought you're such a good batchan. We've got a great idea. When it comes to the mitzvah tans, we'll put you on the loudspeaker, and you could say a whole string of jokes that to be Masameh Chusa Vekala. Okay, why not? A good idea. So they said, we'll call you up when we come to you, when we come to the mitzvah tans, and we'll keep you involved. In the meantime, he sat down, he prepared himself a whole long list of his jokes, which he said by Chasim, Masameh Chusa Vekala. And he gets a phone call later on, a few hours later, and he gets a phone call, said, we're starting now the mitzvah tans, just to let you know you should be prepared, and we'll call you, Mama, just before you, it's your turn to talk. Then he gets another phone call, and it's the musician on the phone. He said, you're going to talk right now. I'm going to put the phone connected to the audio equipment. But in order for it to work well, I have to put you on mute. Because if you're not going to be on mute, it's going to mess up the system. So I'm going to tell you 1, 2, 3, and now you should start talking. I'm going to put you on mute. You'll hear nothing. And you talk. No problem. So the guy tells him, okay, now start talking, and he puts him on mute, and he starts telling jokes. 1, 2, 3. All of a sudden he realizes he's standing in his room in America, 4 walls around him, nobody at home, cracking jokes, there's nobody laughing. He's standing there, he doesn't even know if somebody's listening. You know how difficult it was? It kept on going on and on, and every time he kept more stupid and more stupid. How can you make a joke and you get no feedback from the crowd? And he kept at it, and he kept at it, because hopefully somebody's listening. For all he knows, the line was long disconnected, nobody was ever listening to him at all, but you know what? That's what he was told to do, and he kept on going. He finished off his whole drusha, he gave a whole long drusha, and to the end, he stops, the musician comes back on, says, oh, Baruch Hashem, okay, the phone is live. He comes back on, says, thank you very much, and he hangs up. Okay, doesn't know anything. He gets a phone call another few hours later, was by him already in the evening, and I'm married through, it was the end of the chasna, and one was his brother on the phone. And his brother calls him up and tells him, you have no words to say thank you. The batchan started to call you up. He said, start to call you up? You're in America. You made a surprise, maybe you're here. And all of a sudden I hear your voice. You were right over here. You were at the chasna itself. So he tells him, brother Tyre, just tell me something. Could you hear me? Did you hear me? You were alive as if you were standing in front of my eyes. He said, did someone laugh? Laugh? He said, there were people laughing so much that people nearly fell off the chairs from laughter. You don't even know that the batchan we had was a very good grammar. He said lots of good to grammar, but he didn't know how to make any jokes. And you were Samech, the whole Simcha. You made the Simcha. You were the one who made the whole Simcha. You were the one who made it. And he hung up. He said he went afterwards to learn it by in the Shtibel at night in America. And he was thinking to himself, that's really what we are in this world. A person's neshama gets sent down to Olam Hazeh. We have a mission. Make jokes. Every word of Torah, every word of Tefillah, every mitzvah that we're going to do, creates a simcha b'pamal yishamala, creates a simcha on a darga, there is no malach, suraf, there is nothing which is created in Olam Ha'elyon, which can create, which can give the Eibishter a simcha, like us, Kritzei Choymer, who are here on this world. We have a capability and we have the power to be Masameach, the Eibishter Kevyuchel, in a way that nobody else can do it. But we're on mute. We don't get feedback. We don't hear what's happening in Olam Ha'elyon. And we keep at it. And sometimes we consider, who knows? Who knows if anybody's even listening up there? Who knows if what we're saying is creating a simcha? Who knows if what we're doing is exciting? Maybe it's boring. Maybe they've switched off the line already. And we have to wait many long years until we get Noche Hinden Svanzig and we come at our time in Shomayim, and all of a sudden we see and we hear the feedback, we watch the video being played, and we see what simcha we were goyim. Then the whole mute button comes off, and we see we made such a simcha, the whole Pamali v'shemala kivyuchu were falling off their chairs from laughing at what type of a simcha we create in the Shomayim. We have a gewaldiger power and a koyach to create a simcha in Shomayim. This simcha, which we know we have the power to create, should empower us with such a hislavus, with such a capability, with such a frischkeit, with such a fuse into our avodah, such a powerful effect, which will cause us all to do our avodah with such a brand. There's a Kedishas Levi, in Kedishas Levi, there's something called Kedishas. On Chanukah and on Purim, we wrote Kedishas. On Purim, we wrote four Kedishas, one against each other, connected to the four mitzvahs ayoyim. And the Chanukahs do five Kedishas. There's a shtickle in Kedisha of Purim, which talks about Mamash's Inyan. It's a long piece, but it's very, very. He brings out Lashoinus, which just gnash a few different types of Lashoinus which he has. But the Nekida that he wants to say is, V'zech Chiyuv al Kol Ha'odam. As a chiyuv in every person, he has to have a simcha in that which he creates a simcha for the Eibishter with his avoida. And we all know that somebody will think down, I'm creating a simcha for the Eibishter. Me? Who am I? How much do I do? How much do I think? How much kavuna do I have? What time do I come to daven? How am I davening? What does my davening look like? I'm not even talking about lishma, lishloi lishma, even the tzura, agashmi for my mitzvahs. If a person starts making cheshbon hanefesh, we know exactly each person knows where he's up to, and each person knows how his avoider is, and we think to ourselves, we are the people who are creating a simcha for the Eibishter. I'm this balgava who thinks that my avoider is the avoider which the whole maluchim and serufim are waiting upstairs to hear. Who am I? What am I? Says the Kedishas Levi, Moiridike words. V'hine im ha'udam yeh unav. If a person will be humble, Ma'ani, who am I? O Machayai, what is my life? She'egrim simcha la'boyer buruchi, that I can cause a simcha for the Hashem. He should know it's nothing to do because he is someone great. He achas michaste Hashem mifne le'oisav ha'boyer buruchi. It's pushed a chesed from the Eibishter. We can imagine it. We sometimes, the person's at home, and his little toddler, two or three, will do something little cute. Or they'll start reading the Aleph Beis. Or they'll do something else cute. Or they'll sing along Oye Oye Shabbos. Or they'll do something which is... And we know the math that they're doing is extremely, extremely simple. But we still have such nachas. And we look at the child and we beam from simcha and we feel our heart overflowing from nachas. We're crazy. We think that this little child is doing something great. What's the child doing? So he's singing Oye Oye Shabbos. He managed to say Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet. So what? We know that Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet is such a simple thing that if an adult come along and hold, he's saying Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet, look at him, I'm time to see a doctor, I'm sorry, this is not called something too exciting. But still there is a metzias that a parent sheps nachas from a child. We are toddlers. We might only be in this door a one-year-old, wherever we are, but it's a chesed to the Aibisha. The Aibisha looks down at us tired children, b'ni b'chor yisru, and he sees us saying Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet according to our standard, and he sees us trying, putting input in, and he creates a gemal de gesimcha. And he says, if somebody thinks that he's a unav, he's humble by thinking what his zavoida is, it's such strong words that if you wouldn't say it, you're scared to say such a thing. Ein zeh nikre unav shval berach. It's not called somebody who's humble. Adarabba, it's the opposite. Hu noite leminis. It's nearly apikorsis. If a person thinks that his avoida is not mesamech, the Aivishta is as nebuch, nearly apikorsis. In his marich, is very marich on it. But then he brings down that there is something called a tanik, shabatanik. Chazal tell us that gava is shamtami she'isbe or shamtami selesbe. Somebody who has gava is an achayim, and somebody who doesn't have a gava is an achayim. Says the Gemara, so how much gava should a person have? A person should have a shmini shabishminis. An eighth of an eighth, a 64th. It's an interesting lotion, should just say a 64th. So the Kishas Levi's mazbe shmini goes through whatever it is, alpinista, shmini means, it corresponds to simcha. A person has to have a shmini shabishminis. He has to have a simcha that he's goyim a simcha. A person has to realize, and if he thinks into what a simcha is creating, a pamali shemala, that should infuse him with such a gewaldige simcha. That's not gava. We said before, so that is a built-in fact to a person, to a yid's life. And when he does Torah mitzvah samasim toivim, he creates a simcha, and that should fill him with such a simcha. Shemini shabishminis is a simcha from a simcha to where what a person is meant to be doing on this world. But still, people think who, what, when. Very sweet, shine better. The shlevi lived 200 years ago. Times have moved on since then. Yeridus Adoiris is going down. Still, person, very nice, nice words. But sometimes these types of things flow over us. So we don't feel it. We might even believe it, but we don't feel it. Our avoidus tak is such a chush of avoidus by the Aibishter. And the answer to that is now in the coming days. In a few days, in a few gatzal to take, on Sunday night, we're going to be zoiched to start the mitzvah of the Yom Tov of Chanukah. Alush Nerambam, a mitzvah chaviv hi ad ma'oid. It's a beloved mitzvah, a tremendous beloved mitzvah. I think everybody feels that way. When it comes to Chanukah, it's like the Yom Tov for the Gulis. It's the Yom Tov which is the middle of the winter, when everything is black around us. All of a sudden we have this lechtikait, we have this oir, the neiris which we tzind. In the Chassidish Sforim, it's written that how Chanukah is for all Yidden, however far they are and however low they are. There are lots of different Ramuzim which are mentioned, why Chanukah specific is Yom Tov, which is Shaykh to every single Yid, whatever his matzav is. It's the only Yom Tov, when one goes through the year, it's the only Yom Tov that starts at the end of the month. We always know that the Levuna, when it starts going down, it loses its power. Yidin zandoyim Levuna. We have our beginning of the Chodesh when we grow. And the latest Yom Tov we have is Tezvov, which is the moon is Bemilioi, when it's full. But after that, we have no Yom Tov that starts later than that. And here we have a Yom Tov which is mamish, the end of the Chodesh. It's the middle of the dark winter months. Chazal tell us you have to tzinda menorah. Mamish on the 10th Fuchim, somebody who's mamish nothing, is really nearly on the ground. And Bachutz, the mitzvah, the light, Chanukah's Bachutz, outside on the street. And the Sfurim tell us, is Kola Shmeinim Ksheim Chanukah. There's halucha that certain oils and certain wicks one can't use for Shabbos because they don't burn so well and they don't catch the oils, they don't catch the fire so well. But Chanukah is kol ha-shemenim k'sherim l'chanukah, kol ha-psilis k'sherim l'chanukah. Chanukah is a Yom Tov which is for every single person. There's nobody who can turn around and say, I am so low that my mitzvah Chanukah won't make any hashpura. The Chanukah is a vegeshtel with so many different remuzim that every person, in the middle of gulis, in the middle of the winter months, in the middle when it's dark and a person feels he's on the street and he has no meaning to himself and he has no feeling and he has no nothing, who cares about his little mitzvah? When he bends down and he lights his menorah lemata me'asura, he makes such a lechtikait and such a simcha in all the oilemas that he transforms the whole pamali shemala and everyone's standing there singing and dancing. We're just on mute. But we have to know it, and we have to believe it, and we have to feel it. And it's a metzias, and it's true, and we tzin Chanukah licht, with everything wet lichtig. There's a famous story from the Chodesh of Lublin, where the Chodesh of Lublin once, there was a group of Chassidim who in their town, there was a moisa, was one of the worst things that could happen in a town when you had somebody who, later, he became a moisa, he wanted to earn himself a little bit of oil of haza, and everything which any of the Eden in town did wrong, he ran off straight away to the authorities and told them over, this one didn't pay tax, and this one did this wrong, and this one did that wrong. And they made their life Gehenim. And they decided, this Chassidim, that they have no choice, they have to ask the Rebbe for Yeshia. So they traveled to the Choizim in Lublin and they asked the Rebbe, please, could you sort this person out? And they gave the person's name and a kvittel to the Choizim in Lublin. And the Choizim in Lublin took the tzettel, took the kvittel, and he looked inside and he said, I don't understand what you're talking about. This Yid is shining in all the Olam HaSalyonim. I can see this person's neshama is shining in all the Olam HaSalyonim. And the people who brought in the kvittel were absolutely astounded. This person is overcold a virus of oilam. He's moister. He afflicts Eden in the worst way possible. After the mavara, that the minute when the choizer was looking at the kvittel, this moister with all his negative traits was lighting Chanukah licht. And he was lighting Chanukah licht. That's a different world. He might have been the worst person there was, but at that minute he was busy lighting Kol ha'olam ha'elyonim. And therefore the choizer saw just a big tzaddik. Afterwards he brought the choizer the kvittel again, and then he already saw who Yitaka was, and he, with his koich, was masada whoever needed to be done. You see that a person, we have the ability, and every single one of us is way better than this moisa was, and we tzinchanik licht, we're shining all the olam ha'elyonim. It's a metzias, it's a fact. All we have to do is try and tune into this fact. And a person will tune into this fact, he'll be singing and dancing. He'll be singing and dancing all day, every time he puts tefillin on, every time he does a mitzvah, every time he says a word of Torah, every time he comes to a shir, every time I should do a chesed to someone, he gives a 50 pence voucher to a tzedukah. Every time it is, we'd be busy dancing all day if we'd realize it, but fact, we're still on the mute button and we still don't realize it, and that's why we have nisyonos, and that's why we have this level of bechira. If it would all be so open and so obvious, the Eibishter wouldn't need us, we would be a pusher to thing, we wouldn't have any melchoma. I heard a story from Y.Y. Jacobson. He's a very famous speaker, and he said over a story to bring out this point also of Chanukah licht, that we saw this moisture when he lit Chanukah licht, of Nathan Sharansky. I think most people have heard of Nathan Sharansky, and he was a refusenik in the Soviet Union. He wanted to leave, and he applied to leave, and the Russians made a lesson out of him, and he didn't stop making a publicity and trying to get his. Until the end, he was Matzliach, and Eibishter helped. He came out of Russia, he went to Eretz Yisrael, and he wrote a book. And one of the things he says in the book, a story, he says, happened like this. He was 9 years in Siberia. And one of the years he was in Siberia, it came Chanukah. He was the only Yid in his camp. He was the only Yid in his whole gulag, as I think it was called. And he explained, though, to his Goyshe inmates what is the symbolism of Chanukah. Religious freedom. That's when the religion won over the seculars. That's when we had some, and they were all infused with chizik from it. They all helped him. Together, with the going together, they built together a menorah. They took some wood which they had there from the camps, and they built a menorah. He managed to find some oil and some wicks, and they lit Chanukah licht. And it went over a few nights, and everything was b'shulam b'shalva. I don't remember if he said the fifth or the sixth night, and a guard walked in during the Chanukah, during when the Chanukah licht was burning, and the guy wasn't very impressed. He went and picked up the menorah and walked off. And Nathan Sharansky was also not very impressed. He'd given up so much to have this menorah. He did so much. He wanted that menorah back. He went over to the guard and said, "Why do you take it away?" He said, "Why? You used Soviet property to build a menorah. It's not yours. You can get punished for using public property, communist property, for a personal use." Okay, they're already accused of treason. Besides, he said, "I'll give you back. 2 more days, we'll dismantle it. You can have every piece back." He said, "Besides, your bunkmates are complaining. They're worried. Maybe the whole bunk will burn down." So he turned around to the guard and said, "Very nice. I want my menorah back. I'm declaring a hunger strike until you give me my menorah back." He said it was a very dangerous thing to do, because a hunger strike could go 2 ways. The Soviets had absolutely no problem to have one less person to feed. After a few days, they had a permanent one less person to feed. They had no problem of somebody dying from a hunger strike. He took his chance. Sometimes, though, they weren't interested in having a revolt, so they would give in. And he declared a hunger strike. And after 2 days, the commander of the camp calls him in. I wrote down his name, I don't remember anymore. Oswald, I think, or someone. He called him in. Now, Sharansky's marvel was that there was a commander from Moscow coming to visit this camp 2 days later, Mazois Chanukah, to see, to inspect the camp, how it's going along. And the last thing that this commander wanted was showing that prisoners aren't happy, they're revolting, they're rebelling. He hated the prisoners. He was a communist through and through. He was ready to do everything in order to be strict on them. But the end of everything, he was worried about his own seat even more. And he was worried about getting promoted higher and higher. And if he shows a sign that he can't control the camp properly, it wouldn't reflect well on him. He calls Natan Sharansky to the office and he tells him, I'm telling you that from now on we're going to give you much more religious freedom, we won't be so strict, we'll let you do whatever you want, but you can stop your hunger strike. So Natan says, no problem, so give me my menorah back. Let me light it. So the commander says, that he can't do. No, the menorah no, but everything else you can have. So he realized that this commander is in a bit of a pickle. If he gives him the menorah back and he walks out with it outside, then he's made a fool out of him in front of the whole camp. He's made a public fool, humiliated him, showing that he can get his way against the commander. Okay, that's too much to ask for. So he tells the commander, I have a different idea. I don't need to go anywhere. Give me the menorah back. I'll light it right here in your office. Now Zois Chanukah. I'll light it right here in your office. And that's it. No problem. I don't need to take it anywhere. Okay? I read Chachmadik. He opened up the drawer. And the menorah came back on the table. He said, very good. I need a candle. So he sent the guard, bring him a candle. He said, I need 8 candles. It's the 8th night. So the guy took a knife out and cut into 8 little pieces. Beautiful precision, 8 pieces. He set up on the menorah. He said, I made a brucha and he lit the menorah. And afterwards, I took a bait that's filler. Mishu usun nisim la viseini. He bait the filler, the Eibishtu who made this nisim, biyuma mahayim, should do us nisim in this time also. V'naim o'umayim. When he finishes the tefillah, with just him and the commander in the room, he hears somebody answering, Omein. He looks up and he sees the commander, the one who said Omein. And they're both looking at the menorah for a few minutes, it's quiet in the room. And all of a sudden, the commander like wakes up from his dream, and he gives a shout for the guard to come, enough of this nonsense, take the menorah out, the Yotzegovin. Power of a menorah. This commander Nebuch was a falurin and a shomer. He was in the Communist Party, in the middle of Siberia, commanding a gulag, creating Gehenna on this world for people who do anything religious. But he was why had Lucas Menorah. His heart was lit. It's a fact. There's nothing to do about it. And he got woken up to the depths of his heart, and he was so taken aback without realizing himself was getting involved. And he said, Omein. Just to bring out, like we said before, from the Choizim from Lublin, whatever darga person is, and however much we sometimes feel that we're failures, which all these feelings are only the Atzasei Yetzer, but it definitely, every person knows, definitely by himself, that he's way, way above any of these dargas of these types of people that we've been talking about. Therefore, a person should have the koichas and should feel great about himself and feel, I can do it. No, I can't do it. I am doing it. If I'm doing it anyway, I may as well realize I'm doing it. I feel the simcha samitzah. And because I'm creating such a simcha of ma'alu shemalu, he should be feeling such a simcha by himself. This time, there's another story he says over there, Y.Y. Jacobson. He heard from his brother, who, if I'm not mistaken, heard it from either from the survivor or from the son of the survivor. There was a yid in Auschwitz, a young boy, and his father was there together, and they were both there together. And his father was suffering tremendously. It was the end of 1944, and his father had lots of sores over his body, and the son felt very bad for him. And he went to the infirmary. He somehow managed to smuggle out some type of a cream to help his father to be able to shmear on his wounds. And he came into the barracks where his father was lying, and he's not there. And he searches everywhere. He's not there. Disappeared. He doesn't know if he was taken, if he was killed, if somebody found him. He doesn't know anything. He never saw him again. The last time he saw his father when he went out to get this cream from the infirmary, he came back, he wasn't there anymore. And he's feeling tremendously down. And comes over to him an elderly Yid who was in the same barracks as his father and starts to talk to him. He said, I have no idea who the guy was, but I did see him a few times talking to my father together, so I knew they were close. He comes over to me and he tells me, I don't know where your father is. I didn't see who took him. I don't know where they took him. But I can tell you one thing. Today is Chanukah. In a few days is Chanukah. Tonight is Chanukah, he said. A few days is Chanukah. And your father would have the greatest nachas if you would light Chanukah licht. And he looked at him as in, out of his mind. In Auschwitz, the only thing people were thinking about, leider, for the starvation, was another morsel of bread. There were a few, the Hoyber and Tzadikim, who managed even to think about days when it's a Shabbos, when it's a Yom Tov. He's telling him to go and light menorah in Auschwitz. But as the idea trickled into his mind, you know what? His father's not here, he wants to do a Nachas Riach. And they went together to procure some oil. They went to the factory, one of the factory workshops, and they managed to get a bit of a machine oil. And they took a little bit of threads out of the uniform. There wasn't many threads to start with, but they managed to take some threads out of the uniform, they put it together. And they knew that one of the other barracks, in the end, there were a little few embers of a fire that was once there. When it comes to the time to light the menorah, they'll go over there, they'll pick up, they'll go there with this menorah that they've made, and they'll light the menorah. By evening, when they went to the other barrack, they were holding this little bit of oil and wick in their hands. An SS guard, Yimach Shemam, found them, and he asked them what's going on. He started to yell at them. He screamed at them. What do they think they're doing? He grabbed away the oil with his wicks. He screamed and screamed. They were ready any second, that's it. All of a sudden he had a command from a commander of his, from somebody who was higher up, barked an order to this SS soldier. So he had to go and follow the order. Oh, we got away. As he's walking off, he turns around and he tells the seed, so he tells the both of them, don't think you got away with anything. I'm coming back in a few minutes. I'm coming back to get you. They didn't have any reason anymore to go to the other barrack. They had no oil, they had no wicks. They turned around, they went back to their own barracks. In this Yid, this elderly Yid turned around to this young one and told him, I want to tell you something. You think that we didn't light the menorah. You think that we weren't zoicha to light the menorah. Got it wrong. What just happened now in Auschwitz in 1944 was a greater ness than what happened by Chanukah by the Chashminuim. What happened by the Chashminuim? They came to the Beis HaMikdash, they had a menorah, they banished after greater ness and Eivish to help, they found oil, they had wicks, they had fire. And what happened? The Eivish made a huge moifus and he made something for one day should burn for 20, for 8 days. Here in Auschwitz, we have no fire, we have no wicks, we have no oil, we have no menorah. And we just were zeicher to be mekadosh the Eibishter's numen. We were zeicher to light an invisible flame. In this Gehenna, in this type of place where we are, we went and did such a masa. We lit the menorah. You shouldn't think we didn't light it. Avad we lit the menorah. Just we lit it with no wicks, and with no flame, and with no oil. This person's words made such a roshim on this young man. And as soon as he finished talking, in walked the SS guard. And he picked up this older fellow, took him outside the barracks, and walked him out the back of the barracks. And as he did that, this younger fellow managed to escape. Those were his last words, Nebuch. He said, a person sometimes comes to a matzav of yish. There can't be anything worse. There can't be anything more downtrodden. I can't be in a worse state than I am right now. It's impossible for me to go any lower. And he's got the picture completely wrong. He's not low. He's not downtrodden. He's in exactly in the matter that the Eibishter wanted him to be. It was prescribed and planned in precision detail for his personal aliyah. He thinks the world is black. He thinks the world has gone crazy. He thinks he's an osvav. He thinks he doesn't keep Torah mitzvahs. He thinks and he feels. But he's got it wrong. He's chewed into the wrong station. It's completely the opposite. With his one machshuv of chizik, which he's going to have right now, he'll turn everything on its head. It's not he's gone down. He's in a massive of such a unique opportunity that if he realizes, wherever I am, however I am, If I could turn around and bring a chizik tzrik, if I could turn around and realize this is what the Eibishter wants me to be, and if I take one tiny step forward, I'm sure I'm with him, then the whole situation was worth it. It was all prescribed to me and it was all moiridik. I once heard from the Rebbe, the Bi'an Rebbe once said, the same type of thought, we say in the mornings, the Moisa Ha'udam Mila Behema Oyen. Literal translation, a person is not worth anything more than a behemoth. A moisa huuda min a behemoth. A person is worth more than a behemoth. Oy, nothing. A person is nothing more than a behemoth. We're all exactly the same. We say in the morning, except we have an neshama. But everyone said to Shmuel Gavot, he said, a moisa huuda min a behemoth. The mala, the advantage that a person that udam has min a behemoth, he has over a behemoth, is oy, is that he can fall, he can become a no one. He can go down to such depths. He can fall in such an abyss of avarice, of despair, of doing the wrong things. That's the advantage a person has over a behemoth. Chazal tell us, a par ben yoyme kure par. A cow, the day it's born, it's already a whole cow. It's gone to its maximum mala it can get to. We see an animal gets born within a few hours. They're up, they're running, they're doing the thing. A human being, from the time they get born until they can care for themselves, is years. An animal managed to do it straight away. Hashem creates an animal that is, he gets created at his maximum level. He is static. He can't go up and he can't go down. The only thing that can move is a udam. Somebody who can't move is either somebody who's not alive anymore or a behemah. If we can move, we might be moving in the wrong direction. We might be moving down. We might be oyin, we might have fallen down, we might be doing a virus, we might be doing the wrong things. But if we became an oyin, if we managed to move down, it's a symbol we're moving. If we're moving, we have an advantage, we're human, we're yidin. And if we're moving, then it's not a problem. If somebody has an engine, all you have to do is turn the car around and travel in the right direction. But if somebody's not moving, if somebody can't move, then he has no hope. Therefore, whatever person, whatever matzav a person feels they're into, think about Ner Chanukah, think about how we can do with one little hadlukah, we can get the whole world flacking, we can do everything. Just have to think a little bit into what we're doing, a little bit of hisboneness, realize what a koyach the Eibishter has. He has millions of maluchim oyven and shemayim. Doesn't need them. I mean, he needs them, but that's not what he's looking for. He wants nachas riach from kritzei choyma. He wants nachas riach from us people in Tuf Shin Ein Tes, the 2018 to 2019 Yidden, with all the matter there is in the world. Who knows better than the Eibishter exactly what type of a world we live in? He created it. He made it. And he obviously felt that we are capable of doing something. We might not succeed 100% of the time. But who said our goal is to succeed 100% of the time? He creates an opportunity for us to succeed. One step here, one small step there. But if we don't realize the magnitude of the small steps, then sometimes we can get down. We have to realize it's only a mute button. When it comes to 120 meters, we'll come upstairs and we'll see what type of a pleasure we created, what type of a simcha. The meluchim and serufim were falling off their chairs with laughter. When we came to Tzimchanike Licht, we should realize with what type of a spark we have, which is lighting us up, just lighting us up, our family up, and the Olam HaSel Yoinim up. All we have to do is think just a few minutes before we send that Chanike Licht, what we're about to do. The Eibishter Helfen is Chis and the Magid. So toil zan, so make zan a klal Yisroel, we should be able to light der Chanukah, the Chanukah licht in the base of Mikdash.